I'm going to start with a reading, which I'm sure you're all well aware of. It's John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. A short passage, but one that I think is well worth looking into. So let's pray just before we come around that. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word from John that tells us of just how much you care for each one of us, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with me now as I go through and try and open up the passage what you spoke to me. And Lord, that someone here will find meat which they can chew on, Lord, to help them to grow in their faith. And I ask it in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Right, the opening passage, which I'm sure you're all well aware of, is commonly known as the Gospel in a nutshell, which is exactly what it is. It couldn't be any clearer. But I believe it's the most important part of Scripture that should not and must not be taken lightly. It has to be treated serious, because it is a very serious implications on the decision that one makes. I believe that the most important word, the biggest word in that whole passage, is the message of this morning's title, so. You say, so? It's only S-O? How's that a big word? But so is such a big word when it comes to, he so loved this world. You know, that's how much he loved this world. Not just so, a little so, but so much love for the world that he was prepared to send his one and only Son. He loved us so much. And I want to make it abundantly clear that his offer is available to all. There are no exceptions. Yes, he loved us all enough to give his one and only Son to pay the price for our sins, past, present, and the good news is the future ones as well. He makes it possible for us to be reconciled to himself through the acceptance and belief in his Son Jesus and accepting him as our Lord and Savior. This morning, Rob took us through the simple ordinance of communion. We took the bread and the wine as we remembered and gave thanks in recognition of the great cost that God made and Jesus paid for with his blood hanging on that cross to make it possible for us. It's important that we remember that there was no other way. He is the only way we can claim salvation, by accepting his Father's precious gift. As we can read from John again in 14:1-7, Jesus comforting his disciples here, and if you belong to Jesus, you can take this passage to heart. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you there. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Wow, what a strong passage. In that passage, it's important to take note how personal Jesus' message is to each of us who have accepted him as our Lord. You can claim those promises. He is preparing a place for you. He will come back to take you home to be with him. You again. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. It couldn't be any clearer, could it? It's an individual choice. Yet, so many find it so difficult to accept God's free gift. I wonder if it's because it's a free gift, people think, is this a con? If they had to pay for it, if you had to say to them, you've got to run three marathons, the London Marathon, New York Marathon, and the Manchester Marathon to qualify, I think there would be a lot of people queuing up to do it. You know? But it just seems so simple. But what makes it hard is it all depends on the Holy Spirit's work in softening the hearts, opening the ears to hear, and just getting them to realize that we are so inefficient on our own. We are not meant to be on our own. When we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, how then are we going to be obedient to Jesus' instructions, which he gave to his disciples and to us who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior? Known as the Great Commission, as we read from Matthew 20. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" I think it's important that we remember that last little bit. He is gone, and his promise is to be with us to the very end of that age. So we're not going to be asked to do anything on our own. He has got our hand. And that is very comforting to me. It's important that we realize that our part in the Great Commission is simply to repeat the gospel over and over again. Now, it might appear that this doesn't seem to bear much fruit, but we've got to realize it's not our calling to bear fruit. It's our calling to broadcast or to plant the seed, realizing that once we have done so, that it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit where hearts can be softened and ears opened and fruit produced. We are only asked to do our part, and having done so, to leave the rest up to the Lord and allow him to do his part. And all the glory goes to God. There's no glory to us. You know, it's all his doing. So don't get downhearted if there doesn't seem to be much evidence of fruit from your effort. I know I can speak for myself. Sometimes in standing here, giving messages out, for so long, and you wonder, where's the fruit? And it's so easy to get discouraged if you were depending on being popular, noted speaker or whatever, you know. But just to, it is an effort just to keep on repeating that message and to trust, rely on the Lord to do the rest. But you know, all we've got to do is to read scripture when we've got a problem like that. And it tells us what we should do. In Proverbs 3:5, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understandings." You know, how often do we lean on the Lord? How often do we go to scripture when we've got a problem? Rather than trying to go and read the scriptures, we try things to do to sort things out ourselves, don't we? And 9 times out of 10, all we do is dig a deeper ditch to get out of. But the Lord knows exactly how he's going to lead us. So we need to rely on him. I like to look back to John 3:16 for that strong word. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." And I like to break that bit up instead of whoever into whosoever. So you got this "so" in again. "Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It couldn't be any clearer how much God wants our relationship with you, with me, and with those who as yet have made themselves known to him by accepting him as their Lord and Saviour. You know, it shows me just how much God wants a relationship with us. And we need to consider what society thinks of so today. You know, if you were to go into school, Heidi will tell you, she works in a school, and you try to point out to a pupil something that they're doing wrong, the response you might well get was, "So what?" So it's a negative and thrown away. But the "so" in "God so loved the world" is a very positive "so." It's not a "get away." So what's that? It's how important it is to accept that offer. I trust and pray that if you're listening to this message, and as yet you have not made a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, that you will take note of the negative "so what" attitude, but give it some very serious thought. Thoughtful and consideration, taking into account the positive action that cost God the Father the high cost and the suffering that his one and only Son Jesus bore on that cross to make it possible for anyone who accepts him as their Lord and Saviour. You know, from that moment of acceptance, you receive the gift of eternal life. Some people are under the concept that eternal life is something which happens after you depart this world. But you're granted that promise, that hope of eternal life, the moment that you accept him as your Lord and Saviour. And if you don't believe me, again, you can go to scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17 makes it quite clear. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." Could it be any clearer than that? We sing about it, don't we? We've got a lovely song about it. "I am a new creation." So, it's a funny word, isn't it? So. But so, what if you don't accept God's offer? I say it again. So has consequences. And it can either be negative or positive. But I would recommend that if you hear the Lord speaking to you, and you hear his "I so love you so much to accept my son. I pray that the decision you make is yes, Lord. Because without that, then you've only got one possibility, and that is eternal life of separation from God. Where if you accept his son, you've got a promise of eternal life in his presence. And I know which one I prefer. Because we say this world is a dark place and it's getting darker day by day when you only got to look at the news of things that are going on. But you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And there is an answer, which we sung about. And the only answer is with God. And Jesus promises that he has gone to prepare a place for you and me, if you've accepted him. And he will come back and receive you on to himself. Whether you're alive at that time, or you're dead and in the ground, buried or been cremated or whatever, he will call you to be with him when he comes to call those who belong to him. So that's the consolation that I take out of all the problems, because you're not guaranteed that it's going to be a nice, easy, smooth run. It's going to be dodgy at times. We've heard today, we do struggle, we all struggle. And scripture again tells us that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the thing is, when you fall and you realize it, you only realize that you've fallen because the Holy Spirit makes you aware of it. And it's what you do after he has made you aware of where you've gone wrong that counts. If you say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, help me, I need your help, he promises to be with you always to the very end of the age. So I trust and pray that you have that confidence and that hope of a future, not separated, but with God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved each one of us enough. You loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son to pay our debt on that cross. And Lord, that you can look down upon us and see the covering of your Son's righteousness upon us. And Lord, we just thank you that you are so benevolent and so grateful that you care for us enough. More than we'll ever know, Lord. Sometimes it's only when we look back we can see where you've opened doors for us to go through and shut doors to stop us getting into trouble. But Lord, you love us each way. Your word tells us you have plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. And Lord, I hope and pray that anyone listening to this message makes a decision to accept that offer of your plan for them to prosper and not be lost. And I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.